Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Monday, August the 24th. 2020, 16 minutes past the hour. Now, we had a lot of food for thought there in hour number one, talking about high school sports. Should they return this coming Friday? What's going to happen when schools kick off a week from today, August 31st? Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Scott. I haven't called you in quite a while, so I thought I was due.
Well, sure. You're always welcome. What's up, Adam?
I'm sure that anybody who follows me knows that I'll be on two talk shows today, so I invite folks to go to my Facebook and probably my Twitter and just get the links. Of course, the first one's on this station in about 58 minutes. It will certainly be a spectacle for ears, brains, and other body parts that will be the receivers of information.
Yes, mid-morning coffee
break. With a different kind of show host at 4 o'clock on a different talk network. So, interesting day for politics. I can't really help much with Marion history, but I did have a question, Scott.
Go ahead.
Has anybody talked about the Tom Brenneman situation? That's one of the biggest news stories in Ohio this month, and I haven't heard one call about it, but I'm sure I missed it. I was probably doing something else when somebody called.
Well, not a whole lot of people have talked about it, I think because of what's going on with baseball in general. But, you know, fill people in. It was, he made a comment. He's a baseball announcer for people who don't know.
As broadcaster, Scott, we deal with this all the time. And our station being over the internet, being on the air, we provide tapes of everything that we do. I mean, nothing gets said over the air without that record button on. And, you know, I guess we've joked a couple callers, even myself, I've come close a couple times that haven't actually done it, have said words, I mean, which might begin with FRS, for example, that you don't say on the air, and we've had to delete them. Isn't one of your celebrity promos with one of the celebrities where this person says a swear word and you bleep it out right during the promo? So, you know.
That's true.
The president, certainly, he has a potty mouth, and you know, we all do, we're humans.
Well, it's interesting because
if the mic is live, you want to be sure that it's not going out over the air.
Well, the interesting thing is, my understanding about that has always been, you can't control the caller, so there's a little more leniency in that. But it's if you say it or a guest says it that it becomes more of a problem.
Yeah, and this issue wasn't a swear word. In fact, it's a word you're allowed to say on the air. The problem is it is a word that's considered by many people to be very offensive. As it relates to a word that's considered derogatory by many people about a minority group that already suffers a lot of discrimination historically and currently. And the thing was, he didn't actually say it on the Fox Sports Ohio broadcast, but it did go over the MLB.tv feed. And that's what's interesting, and especially about us, Scott, where we broadcast online, we broadcast the old-fashioned way. And kind of like with baseball, and in that case, even being over the internet feed, that certainly affected it. And people heard it because that's the way a lot of people listen. Because a lot of people, they've cut the cord and they don't listen the old-fashioned way. They just listen through an internet feed. And by saying that three-letter word, Tom Brenneman may find himself on the unemployment line. So nothing else, Scott. We know as broadcasters that you have to watch what you say when a mic is live because you never quite know what might come out of your mouth, and if you're not sure what's going to come out of your mouth, you probably should just keep it closed.
Well, I would think by now that he would know that when you are in a booth, when microphones are around, that even at that point, even if you think they're off, that you should not say things like that. And the problem is that he would use a word like that. You know, people can use whatever words they want, but you got to understand also that the people who employ him can decide not to employ him.
And I'm sure this is the 100th time he said it. I mean, he just happened to get caught. And that's kind of the way a lot of things are. How many people who drive drunk have done it without getting caught when they do? Well, you know, that's the law of averages saying, well, the 100th time you do it, you're going to get caught. Hopefully you won't kill anybody. Hopefully you get caught and cited and learn a lesson by playing a big fine and going to jail, because it could have been a lot worse. And in this case, who knows what he might have said. And that's kind of the way things tend to work. And, you know, we look at this as broadcasters, Scott, to just be careful when the mic is hot. And just be careful what you say, even if you know it's hot, because human beings naturally say things off the cuff. I certainly do, you know. I've said a couple words. I mean, that are okay to say over the air, but things I really shouldn't say over the air. Because I'm pretty conservative. I don't really think you should say anything worse than, let's say, heck, which is probably about the most mild expletive you can use. Anything more than that really shouldn't go over the air, unless it's on a cable network and it's some comedy show designed for a very mature audience. So, and in this case, yeah, it's shameful because Tom Brenneman was born with a microphone in his hand. You know, he and I are the same age, so I look at him as a colleague in that way, although certainly he's a lot more money, a lot more talent, and a lot more fame. And you would think, you know, being Marty Brenneman's son, being around this for over half a century, he would know better. And does he have a chip on his shoulder? Was this an honest mistake, or does he talk like that all the time? I guess we'll never know, because we'll never really hear the whole story. But it is kind of a shame, because I think people like you and myself look at him as a role model, and we wonder, you know, how professional are some of these people? They're only human, but they're expected to be held to a higher standard.
Well, I would just say that I think people have to be aware of what they say, and, you know, that fact that he said it, he's got to take responsibility for it, and if somebody decides to employ him, okay, but if somebody decides not to employ him because of that, that's their business. You can't stop that. I don't know. It's an odd situation, because I think it all comes back to, why do people all of a sudden feel the need to say these things? Even if you believe them, even if you believe these things, if you think they're going to hurt somebody else, why do it?
You think he's going to get the axe? Do you think he's going to be unemployed? Or are they going to give him a second chance?
I think that they will weigh how sincere his apology is and what the backlash is from sponsors and people who heard it. If people are sympathetic, I think they might let him stay. If people are not sympathetic, I think they probably won't.
Yeah, I mean, I know you don't like to make a lot of your own opinions, but did you want to offer your opinion? What if you were being asked to provide the punishment? What would you think the fair punishment would be?
Well, on that particular situation, I think really it would come down to just what I said. I think if I was making the decision on him, I would have to decide how valuable he is as a personality, and if people are going to stop listening because of what he said, well, then that's not good. And is that really who he is? Now, see, they would know that better than I would. The people who he works for, I'm sure, have had meetings with him. Is this something?
I'm sure he said things that were off mic. They're just unprofessional. Again, just like the drunk driver. The drunk driver has probably done it 100 times before getting caught. Now, let's hope that during those times he or she didn't kill anybody, and when the person got caught, it was just because the police officer saw them driving erratically, and they got a big fine and went to jail and learned something.
Well, I think it's intent.
That's how it is with a lot of things. I mean, you and I both know. I mean, at his age, he's been probably said this many times. And, you know, I what an advocate I am of free speech, so he can think what he wants, but keep your mouth shut if there's anybody listening, whether or not they're offended. It's just not professional.
There is a
standard of precedent that we broadcasters set as professionals. I feel that, you know, you're out in the community, you know, people don't really, probably don't know me, but, you know, anybody you go in there, I know you are.
You
expected to carry yourself in a certain way, and you do. I mean, you are a pillar of the community. Jeff Ruth, you know, and the late Charlie Evers is the same way. Jeff Ruth is out and about. He's helped, you know, people see it. Well, that's Jeff Ruth. He's a legend in Marion, and they expect him to be a great person at all times and a role model. But they understand he's still human. But again, Jeff would know not to say the kind of thing that Tom would.
I'll tell you, I have a question for you because I've been listening to some of your programs, Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lipp on Monday from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. And it repeats Tuesday and Thursday, 2:10 to 3 p.m. And, you know, you do this show with Dr. Feynman every week, and it's always political, and we are heading into the presidential election. And I've been trying to figure out, because I don't think you've said it outright yet, with 70-something days left, which way are you leaning in the presidential election?
Hello?
Yeah, you there? Hello? You there, Adam? Are you there? Oh, we lost Adam. Well, maybe we'll hear back from him. Now, see, now that's a convenient time for the phone to cut out. Isn't that interesting? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What an interesting time for the phone to cut out. Maybe this is him calling back. And we will find out. I believe it is. Go ahead, Adam.
We'll try that again. Good old technology for you.
Yeah, no, yeah, because I hear you saying not so nice things about the president and not so nice things about the former vice president. So I'm kind of confused with 70 something days left to go. Which way are you leaning in this presidential election?
Undecided.
Still undecided.
I am undecided. I don't like any of them. I think Mike Pence. I mean, I don't like many of his social views, but he certainly of the four is the most consistently professional, the one that's probably the most consistent with my economic beliefs. Just there are some things about him that are a bit of a turnoff. He's also the right age, I think, 60, I think 61, 62, that's a good age. I mean, Kamala Harris is a good age also. But Joe Biden, I mean, he's awfully old. And does he have all of his faculties? You know, it's under debate.
Here's the thing.
Someone who should be in the White House. I mean, you don't know. Everyone, there's questions about this. This isn't a case where I'm really thrilled about both candidates. But we got to make a decision. Yeah, and something I've kind of thought about, Scott, our whole political system, you probably would agree with this, our whole political system in the United States is really based upon the lesser of evils in many cases. That you're kind of, you're not really ever picking a candidate you're thrilled with. You kind of pick the one that you can tolerate. Especially me being called an eclectic independent. That's pretty much the case every time, although there have been exceptions.
Well, the only thing I know is I am tired of turning on Facebook and thinking that it was designed to be some kind of political promotion. I mean, the things you read on there about both sides are just awful. And I don't know why people cannot... If you like a candidate, post something good about them. Give me a reason to vote for them. Why does it have to be something negative about the other person?
It's a negative campaign, you know, as part of the internet also. That's a big issue. With the immediate gratification, where you don't just wait for the paper to be published in the morning. You get news immediately. And people start, you know, call it flaming sometimes, you know, going back and forth with these strong opinions. And it's just part of the way our society is set up and the way that social media functions.
I don't know. Just the things that I read, I think, are these people with these two all the time? I don't think they are.
Everybody has an opinion, and that's good. I mean, again, opinions are healthy, and you know, as long as you can conduct yourself in a professional manner, something which Tom Brenneman probably advice he should have heeded, then your opinion is fine. As I said, I respect, admire, acknowledge all opinions unless it's hate speech or hitting below the belt. So, and with the two shows I'm on today, I'm with two very different hosts, but we respect each other. We know that laughter is the best medicine. We're not afraid to laugh and giggle and not take each other too seriously and try to focus on the good things because, you know, we're all Americans, we're all humans, we're all on the same team. We really need a little more of that.
Well, I just think we need to be a little more conscious of the truth as opposed to what is a smear. And I think that, all I know is I am much more... something that makes me want to vote for somebody is if you tell me what good they're going to do, if you tell me what's good about them.
It seems like, and, you know, Dr. Feynman and I, as a preview, we'll talk about this today... Seems like the Democrats are most interested in saying they don't like Donald Trump. Anybody's better than Donald Trump. You see people on Facebook saying, if the choice was between, you know, a potato and Donald Trump, I would pick the potato. And other people are saying, between Biden and a potato, it would be a potato. Well, I understand what you're saying, but let's have someone in there who can get the job done. And in this case, you know, I'm not overly thrilled by any of them. I wish Mike Pence didn't have some of the social viewpoints that he did, because otherwise I find him appealing. And I think if he were president, he would pick a moderate. You know, Nikki Haley always comes up as a VP, someone, you know, I definitely have more agreement with. Again, I want to see a female in office. It'd be nice for that to happen very soon. But that doesn't look like it's the case. And you wonder about Joe Biden, about his mortality, and Donald Trump also, you know, with his younger brother passing. It's sad, and you wonder about his health, because he says he's healthy, his doctor says he's healthy, but he doesn't look too healthy, and he is in his 70s when women are vulnerable. So you don't know.
Well, I guess we shall see how it all shakes out as it goes.
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, it's going to be an interesting fall. I wish it would be a traditional fall with Ohio State football and other things that we do this time of the year. But who knows if that's going to happen? You know, as I've joked about, there's a lot of lawyers getting rich. That's a good time to be a lawyer, but it's also a good time to be a talk show host, because there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
There is a lot of stuff to talk about
in the mix there.
Absolutely. Well, Adam, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
No problem, Scott. Nice to talk to you as always, and you have a fantastic day.
You too. Bye bye. Adam Lepp. Now, his show will follow this one as soon as we go off the air today, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp. Also, don't forget today, 4:10 to 5 p.m., it's Voice of a People with Linda Sims, and then 5:10 to 6 p.m., the Mike Wilson Show today, and I believe Fred Malone is the guest. So that's the rundown today, folks, and a lot of other good programming in between those shows. Now, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We had a lot of food for thought in hour number one, talking about schools going back a week from today, talking about should high school sports go on this coming Friday night. Are a lot of kids pulling their students out? Are a lot of parents pulling their students out? Are a lot of parents pulling their students out? I don't know. I don't know if a lot of that's going on or not. I don't know this whole quarantining issue. I don't know. I really don't know what's going on. It's going to be a fascinating week, to be sure. But if you have an opinion, give me a call, 740-383-9944. Also, if the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back, 740-383-9944. Now, also, we're talking a little bit about why does politics have to be so nasty. You know, we say this every election cycle, that it's just nasty. And here we are again. Here we are again, getting closer and closer, and the smears are out. You know what's funny? Okay, let's say you pick a candidate, and you say, okay, this is the person I want to vote for. Okay, why is it all of a sudden your goal at that point then becomes to smear the other person? That's weird. Because you end up talking more about the other person than you do about the person you want to win. And it's, I don't know if that's always been the case. Politics have always been somewhat negative when you run a campaign. But this whole idea now about, okay, well, I want this one to win, so I've got to spend all my time talking about how bad the other one is. I tell you, it'll wear you out. All right, phone lines are open. Do you want to talk a little bit about the negativity in politics? Do you want to talk about schools starting in a week and how you think that's going to go? Do you want to talk about football, which apparently will return this Friday night, high school football? We hope it comes off in an okay manner. And again, I tell you, I had a lot of fun last hour talking again about the girls, because for a long time I talked about them on this morning show, Abby and Michelle, and it's always fun to talk about them because periodically they do listen. I think they listen more than periodically, and that's fun because I know they're out there listening, and I know when they're listening I get like a nasty message on Facebook or something telling me that they're listening to what I'm saying, and it's fun to talk about them because these little things go on, you know, like
somebody not showing up for something. But I'll tell you this, they have a good sense of humor, and they certainly can take it. And that is great. The best thing about having somebody on the air is that they can take a punch. You know, certainly you're not going to say something negative about somebody just to say something negative. But sometimes you do it. I don't know. It's not phony. You just do it to embellish a little bit, to make it a little more entertaining. And I can do that with them because I think they get the joke. Well, at least I think one of them gets the joke. And the other one is just fun in general. So the good news is I don't think they're listening this morning. So I think I could probably get away with saying just about anything I wanted to this morning about them, and they would never know anything about it. But in that particular situation, you know, not to beat a dead horse here, but do you think I was wrong in that particular situation? Now, Abby came back on Friday, and I thought we had a pretty good show from noon to one. Now, did you think that was a good show? Was that something that you enjoyed? What did you think of it? Because we've had people call in and say, what did you get yourself into? I think somebody called during the noon show last week. But how do you think that's going? Do you think we have worked through our problems and everything is going to be hunky-dory from now on? Give me a buzz if you have an opinion. 740-383-9944. I thought it went well. I thought it was fun Friday going over the things that had happened since she'd been here and coming to some kind of good conclusion. And I think we did come to a good conclusion. But sometimes, and I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes I just think she gets a little more, what's the right word here? More exuberant than other times. And exuberant is not the word I want to use there, but that's the nicest word I can come up with. She gets passionate, a little more passionate about what I'm saying. Because I think in general, they think that I am twisting the story, which I don't think I am. At least I'm certainly not purposely trying to twist any story. But they're good friends, and I think they understand that. Now, here's the thing, too. You know what? I think a lot about this, and I heard a good quote last night. Because a lot of people feel judged by their past. And I heard a quote last night that I was going to put on Facebook because I thought it was so good. The quote was, I'm not concerned with your past. I'm concerned with how smart you are in changing the future. I think that's just a fascinating quote. I think it's very interesting that it's really not about your past. You know, your past is your past. You've done what you've done. You can't undo it. It's just there. So, the only thing you can control is your future. So, that's what I care about. I care about that you're going to make smart choices now that are going to make the future better than possibly the past was. And if you can do that, then I think we can be okay. But I think the problem is when you continue in those negative patterns, that problems arise. But, to my knowledge, you know, Abby and Michelle have both been fine. Although I haven't heard from Michelle in a long, long time. I don't know what happened to her. She might have been hit by a bus, to be honest with you. She has a fear of calling in. Now, this whole fear apparently derives from the fact that she's exercising when she does listen to this show. Now, I think she's exercising because I've seen pictures of a dog next to her head while she's exercising. But as far as not being able to call in while she's exercising, that one I really don't understand. Because every so often, I like to hear from her because you want to get a point of view from somebody about what's going on. And she knows me, and she knows Abby, and it's a good frame of reference. And I know she was listening to the show last Friday as well, which, like I say, I thought it was a good show, The Exchange last Friday from 12 to 1. And I have high hopes that it'll be a good show this Friday, which I think at this point, I can't put any money on it, but I think that Abby probably will be showing up this Friday. She showed up last Friday. It was good. And we'll see if she shows up this Friday. Although, she was doing weird things last Friday. I don't know why, and I don't know what, and I'm not going to get into them, but she was doing weird things. All I know is I always get the blame. Now, it's not a bad blame, but I always somehow get the blame. Now, why do you think that is? Do you think that's a male-female thing, that the guy is just always going to get the blame, no matter what the situation? I've seen that in the past. I don't know why that is. Because I think for the most part, I'm a nice, kindly individual. But that remains to be seen in a lot of cases. Telephone lines are open again, 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. Let me know what you think. And back to our original topic today, what is going to happen next Monday? Next Monday is really going to be interesting. When the kids go back to school, this Friday when football is played, what is going to be the end result? Can third graders keep a mask on for 7 hours a day? I don't know. And is the teacher responsible for keeping that mask on? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what you do. I just know that I would think there's going to be some very big questions that are going to be answered very soon. And in the long term, how long can this go on? Because here's what I think will probably happen. I think there will somebody's going to get it. Odds are just against us that in some school, somebody's going to come down with this virus. And when that happens, is everybody else in that school going to panic and take their kid out? Or really come down on the school? I don't know. I would think that would be what would happen. I would think that would be the tendency in a lot of cases. But we'll see. You know, I know the schools are working diligently. And I don't want to discount this either, because I know the superintendents, I know the administrators, I know the principals, I know the teachers are all working very hard to make this work. To make this work and to make this work correctly. So I know they're putting the time and effort in. I just don't know if it's possible to make it work properly. It's just a lot of people in a confined area, and if this illness is as prevalent as we think it is it really logical to think that it won't make its way into the schools? Does anybody else have any opinions on this? I'd love to hear it. 740-383-9944. 44 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. Do you have any opinions? And don't forget, we also have mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp coming up today from 10:10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then we have Voice of the People with Linda Sims from 4:10 p.m. to 5 p.m. And then the Mike Wilson Show, 5:10 p.m. to 6 p.m., a full day here at WWGH Radio. Now, last week, we didn't get a whole lot into this, as deep into this as I would have liked to, but we were talking a little bit about Marion's past. The popcorn festivals. You know, we're about getting ready to have popcorn festival time, but of course this year there will not be a popcorn festival. So, in the 30-plus year history of the popcorn festival, are there any moments that you remember that stick out in your mind? Are there any moments from the Marion County Fair that stick out in your mind? Bowling alleys. I'm still interested in bowling alleys, because bowling alleys had such a big lock on the Marion community for a long time, and they had a big lock on a lot of communities. Certainly not like we were the only one, but we had Buckeye lanes at one point, we had Plaza lanes at one point, we had Southland lanes at one point, and we had Star lanes. Now, I always thought that Star lanes was in a very weird location. And I'm not sure what they've done to the building out there. I haven't been out there in quite a while. Last time I was out there, the building kind of looked in a little bit of disarray. I'm not sure what year that was built. But the building did not look to be in the shape that it once was. But that bowling alley was very popular for a very long time. Now, if you wanted to go to that bowling alley, you definitely had to drive out there because it was kind of in the middle of nowhere-ish. Not totally in the middle of nowhere, but way out there. Does anybody have fond memories of being on a league? And who were the big bowlers in this town? I know we had people who did who threw 300 games. And I wonder why it seems to me like bowling has faded in appeal, although now schools have it as an extracurricular activity, which back in those days, I don't remember any school ever having bowling as an extracurricular activity. So it's interesting to me that it has become that, even though the bowling alleys don't seem to be as popular. You would think that would have infused it. And people used to love bowling alley food. It was kind of like drive-in theaters in that way. A lot of people just went to the bowling alleys for the food. Most all of them had these kitchens where they did pizzas or where they did pop. Or I remember the Plaza had a almost like a counter, a little lunch counter, where they cooked all kinds of things. And people loved the food. And I would imagine those lunch counters in those places made a ton of money, because when you had leagues and you had every lane filled up and you had 10 people to a lane because leagues were going on, a lot of people were coming over and getting food and drink. No doubt about it. So we're talking about bowling alleys. We're talking about memories of the Marion County Fair. Memories of the Palace Theater. Did you ever see anybody interesting at the Palace? A lot of people have been at the Palace Theater over the years. A lot of very big acts. Does anybody remember the Palace of the 80s, 70s, 60s? The types of groups that came there in those days, a little different than what it is now. Also, the school systems here in Marion are interesting to talk about, because they've all almost changed. Most of the school systems in recent years here in town have built new schools. In the last 20 years, we've seen Marion City Schools do big renovations. We've seen Elgin do big renovations. We've seen River Valley do big renovations. You know, there was a big, big topic for a long time, the cancer scare at River Valley. You know, I don't know, to this day, I still really don't know what that was all about. You know, The old schools are still out there, and they're still used for certain things. And I never understood GTE, which was right across the street, how there would not have been some effect on GTE as well as the River Valley schools. But there were a lot of cases of cancer that came from River Valley. So I don't know. You know, the resolution to that was never really a great resolution. And then, of course, River Valley wanted to get new schools, and a lot of people, I remember people saying that, oh, it's just a ploy to get new schools. I don't know. I know River Valley has become very popular since all of that. At one point, I know that River Valley was the only school in Marion County that had a growing population. Open enrollment helped that out. Open enrollment came to Marion. And all of a sudden, you could put your kid in any school you wanted to, no matter where you lived. And for some reason, that tended to benefit River Valley more than anybody else. I think a lot of people thought it would benefit Pleasant, but I don't know that it did. I don't think it benefited Pleasant like it did River Valley. River Valley got a big, powerful reputation out of that. And like I say, at one point, I know they were the only school in Marion County that had a growing population. But does anybody have memories of that time? We talked about that one morning here, and it's an interesting story because it went on for years, and it certainly was not good publicity for Marion, but you seemingly could not avoid that story, the cancer scare at the River Valley schools. Does anybody remember anything about that? Give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any memories of that whole hullabaloo that went on in the late 90s, I think, is when the majority of that took place. It was unfortunate because of the press that it created, and it was unfortunate because of the hysteria that it created. But I do remember people attending those school board meetings and the media that would come to those and the Columbus News that followed that whole situation. It was a gigantic story, and it was an ongoing story. It was a story that went on and on and on and on, and it was really something. So does anybody have any memories of that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or anything else from Marion's past. It's good to go back and discuss a lot of these things, because they do get hazy in the mind after a while. Time passes and we tend to forget. But one of the things that I know people were very upset about was the tearing down of all the Marion City schools. The majority of them were torn down. Fair Park Elementary was gone. Mark Street was gone. Pleasant was gone. Edison Middle School gone. Taft Middle School gone. A lot of these schools are gone that people went to. And there are so many people who went to the city schools for so many years that now can no longer go back to the school that they went to, their first school, and walk in the doors because they're all gone. And I remember, you know what I remember about that time most when they were tearing down these schools, doing the transitions, was most of these schools had auctions in which they sold the blackboards and all the desks and tables and chairs and curtains and everything that was in the schools. Sold it all at these auctions. And I remember the Amish were coming out to a lot of those auctions to buy a lot of things, I think, for their children, books and so on and so forth. And I remember, I think the only auction that I ever attended of a Marion City school was an auction that was held at Fair Park Elementary. And it was sad, because you know how a school, no matter how old it was, and I think Fair Park was probably built in the 60s, no matter how old a school gets, you're very cognizant when the building is open to keep it clean, to keep it well, you don't want to damage anything. And when you walked in for these auctions, if you had ever been in the buildings prior to these auctions, it was a real culture shock, because you walked in and you had people walking everywhere and there was muddy feet and, you know, mats were rolled up and chalkboards and bulletin boards had been peeled off the walls and things were stacked up and curtains were down, and it looked like a mess, and as well as it does when you have an auction like that. But it was so different, because schools for so long were thought to be places that you didn't want to damage, you wanted to keep in good shape, you wanted everything to look good, and you walked in during these auctions and everything was just a mess. So that's something I remember. And I do remember a large population of Amish people being there to buy the goods. And then we all watched the buildings being torn down, which, that was sad. It was sad if you drove by why they were tearing one of these buildings down. And, you know, I was trying to think, I don't know how long Taft or Edison was there, or Mark Street. You know, Mark Street, Taft, and Edison, I think, were probably the three oldest schools in Marion City Schools at that time. And I don't know how long they had been there, but these schools dated back a long time. And even if, I don't know if it was part of the contract or not, but even if they weren't going to use the buildings anymore, I always thought, well, maybe they could sell the property with the building on it. You know, the school up on North Main Street, that still is there. I think it's being used as office buildings now. So it does happen. I believe the rec center here on Church Street, I think that's the gymnasium from the old freshman building, and they just wiped out these schools. Mark Street, Fair Park, Taft, Edison, you know, Pearl Street, totally got rid of them. Schools gone. And I don't know how long Pearl Street had been there. I imagine Pearl Street had probably been there for a while. But then you go back to River Valley. You know, River Valley built all these new schools, but the old River Valley still exists. They're still there. And I think at this point they're being used as something, which I don't understand that. Can anybody explain to me, we had this big cancer scare and we had to build new schools because of the whole cancer scare, and yet now the buildings where it was said that these high levels of cancer were being reported are still being used, or at least people are parking on the property. Does anybody understand that? I would have thought they would have torn down those buildings and done something with that land to make sure nobody ever used it again. But that's not what happened. The schools are still there to this day, and they're being used by other people. I mean, wouldn't there be some danger for the people who are out there? I really don't know. That whole thing is peculiar. Does anybody have any memory of that at all? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any memories of that at all? Now, I appreciate the calls on hour number one this morning. I think it is interesting to see what's going to happen here in a week when schools go back in. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens this Friday night when athletics resumes. You know, we got the call on Friday night that the scrimmage on Saturday morning that Harding was supposed to play had been canceled because some students from Upper Sandusky had gotten ill, we think. I really don't know. We just got the call Friday night that I think it was some students from Upper Sandusky were being tested, and they were under quarantine, so the scrimmage that Harding was supposed to play against them Monday morning did not happen, or Saturday morning did not happen. Is that foreshadowing of things to come? Do you have to quarantine for 2 weeks? What do you do while a team is quarantining? Can a team practice while they're under quarantine? I don't know. This is ultimately going to have to be something that is going to be addressed again. I don't think it's just going to be one governor's press conference, and then all these games are going to start, and then that's going to be it. I think there's going to be a lot more to this. And it's, you know, we got a call on Friday night that somebody was attending the soccer game at Pleasant, and people were not wearing their masks, parents and students. And who's supposed to police all of this? You know, it's going to be a lot, there's going to be a lot of questions to come out of this. Well, don't forget, we've got Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp coming up at 10 o'clock this morning, and then we've got Voice of a People with Linda Sims at 4 o'clock today, and then we've got the Mike Wilson Show guest being Fred Malone today, 5 to 6 p.m., and a whole lot of other programming in between. So don't you dare change that dial. You're tuned in to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Talk to you tomorrow.
Nominee Donald Trump.
We welcome to these microphones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
God, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you, sir.
I have to tell you, I have not slept in days. I'm very, very excited. This is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal convention. Probably the biggest star-studded convention ever seen. We've got huge stars. We've got Gary Busey.